Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Mark chapter number 2, and I want to read a few verses to you tonight, and we'll close out what we started on Wednesday night. The Bible said this, and again he entered in unto Capernaum, after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And I just want to say this in passing. When he's in the house, it'll be noised abroad. Amen. And you'll not have to go tell everybody what God's doing. Everybody will know. Amen. It was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch as there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Boy, that's what we need to preach tonight, is the word. Amen. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. There's always that crowd. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemings? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk,' but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine city.' And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch as they were all amazed and glorified God, saying," boy, I like this, "we never saw it on this fashion." And I started on Wednesday night preaching on getting someone to Jesus. And let's see if we can get this man on to Jesus tonight and see what happens. Father, we love you. Thank you for being good to us. I pray, God, that you'd help us as we preach tonight, and we'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, I want to conclude this thought of getting someone to Jesus. As we looked at this on Wednesday night, and give me just a little bit of time to back up and to catch up where we was at on Wednesday night, because all of our youth and our Awana workers was at. But as we looked at this on Wednesday night, we looked about them tearing the roof off of this place. We dealt with the way that roof system was made in that day, that roof system was made of clay. It was made of dust or dirt, and water was added to it, and it made a mud or a clay. And that's the way that roof system was made in that day. And in order for them to get this man to Jesus, they had to get that clay out of the way. And how you and I, we are made from the dust of the ground, amen. And that if we ever get anybody to the Lord, we'll have to get ourselves out of the way. Matter of fact, I preached this morning on the little word "nevertheless." And you know what? If we're going to live a nevertheless life, as I preached this morning, we must get ourselves out of the way. It's not our will, it's not our wants, but it's that is pleasing to the Lord. We talked by way of introduction about these four that brought this man to Jesus. Now, I don't know if it was four men, if it was four women. I don't know if it was three women and one man, or if it was three men and one woman. I don't know if it was two women and two men. I don't know. I just know four got him to Jesus. Amen. As we began looking at this, we noted this by way of introduction. We noted their compassion tonight. They had a burden for this man. They had compassion on him. And the Bible said that mine eye affecteth my heart. And whenever we see the condition of those around us that is sick, let's say, of the palsy, and because of sin, they are in the condition that they are in, may God help us to have compassion on them. I thought about this, their compassion. We looked at this, their confidence. Their confidence. They knew who to get this man to. And that man was Jesus. They had confidence that if they could get him to Jesus, everything would be all right. We looked at their consistency, how they stayed with it. And then we talked about this. We talked about, could it be that one of these at some point in their life was in the same condition as this man right here? Could it be that there was a day in their life that they lay sick of the palsy? Could it be that there was a day in their life that they had the same condition as this man, but somebody looked on them and somebody had compassion on them? Could it be that they remembered that day that they was in the same condition, and Jesus passed by where they was at, and Jesus touched them, and they knew if Jesus changed their life, that Jesus could change his life? We talked about that. I said this on Wednesday night. If we'll reach those that no one wants, God will give us those that everyone wants. And boy, how true that is. Dr. Bobby Robertson, I heard him make that statement years ago, and how true that is. Number one, we looked at this on Wednesday night. We looked at the burden that they held. The burden that they held. You see, they got under a burden for this man and his condition. I want to ask you this, and I'm moving quickly tonight, but what kind of burden do we have? They was concerned about his sickness, but they was also concerned about his sin. What kind of burden do we have about a world that's dying and going to hell, a community that's dying? What kind of burden do we have tonight? You know, a lot of times the truth of the matter is this: we don't have much of a burden. Amen. We don't have much of a burden a lot of times. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? I'm going to mention this and just move on. But we just today or yesterday, depending on when you started it, if you started it at all, we talked about a 21-day fast from something. And we are, some of us is finishing that fast today. I want to ask you something. Did we do it just because, or did we do it because we truly had a burden? When we think about our community tonight, it should burden us. It should trouble us. It should break our heart tonight, the burden that they held. I not only see the burden that they held, but we looked at the bed that they hoisted. You see, after they had a burden, they decided to do something about it. They decided, you know what? We're going to get this man to Jesus. They decided, hey, look, this man is in a condition that he needs the Lord, and we're going to get him to Jesus. We really stopped right there, so let me pick up right there tonight. Not only do we see the burden that they had, but the bed that they hoisted. Watch this in verse number 3. The Bible said this in verse number 3. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. Watch this. Which was born of four. The bed they hoisted. Watch this. To get him to Jesus, they had to. Are you ready? You got your pen out? They had to work together. They had to work together. One of them, maybe one of them could have got a hold of the front of the bed and drug it by himself. Maybe one of them could have tore the roof off and pushed him off in there. But in order for them to get this man to Jesus, they had to work together. I know I've mentioned some about this today, but let me just back up and say it again. Thank God for those that works with the young people in our church. Thank God for our nursery workers. Somebody give me an amen right there. Thank God for those. And you know what? A lot of times in a church you see the pastor. That's who you see. He's the face of the church. God put him as the orchestrator and the leader of the church, and you see him. But hear me and hear me well. There is absolutely no way that we could do what we do at Amazing Grace Baptist Church if it was just me. Man, they worked together. They worked together. If we're going to reach our community this year, we know that's one of our main goals and our main themes. If we're going to reach our community this year, hear me, church, we're going to have to work together. You say, well, preacher, you know what? I'll do something as long as I can get credit for it. You don't have a burden. All you're interested in is a pat on the back, man. That's the only thing you're interested in. Let's get past that. Let's see a world that's dying and going to hell. Let's see a community in need of the Savior. Let's see a community that needs to know that there's still a church around that loves God and loves sinners and loves each other. They work together. They work together. They not only worked together, watch this, they went to Jesus. When they got him up, they made a beeline to Jesus. Let me tell you what we've got to do. The bed that they hoisted, we got to get them to Jesus tonight. There's a verse that has been so turning in my mind for a couple of weeks now. And the verse is simply this. I'm not going to quote it verbatim or give you a reference. Go home and look it up. But it's in reference to Jesus, and here's what he says. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Let me tell you what the theme of Amazing Grace is, lifting Jesus up. Preachers, every time that we stand and preach, you know what the theme of our message ought to be? It ought to be Jesus tonight. Hey, if we're preaching on being separated from the world, it's because Jesus calls us out to be a peculiar people. Our theme of everything, our theme of Sunday school, our theme of revival, our theme in our home, every day of our life, they ought to be one thing that we're interested in. And that's Jesus tonight, lifting him up. And if we'll lift him up, he makes a promise to us, I will draw all men unto me. There was a burden that they held. There was the bed that they hoisted. They worked together to get this man to Jesus. Well, I just can't work with this one, or I just can't work with that one. Man, it's time that we lay all of that to the side. Somebody give me an amen tonight. It's time that we lay all of that to the side. There's a world dying and going to hell. We've got to work together to get them to Jesus. There was the burden that they held. There was the bed they hoisted. But watch this number three tonight. There was the barriers that they hurdled. The barriers that they hurdled. Anytime you do anything for God, you get ready. There's going to be conflict. Matter of fact, if things run real smooth for several weeks, I start getting worried. I'm just going to be honest. Because the devil hates, Brother Stan, what we're doing. The devil hates what we're doing. In this new year, as we began reaching out into our community, as we began going to those places where some may not even want to go, as we began pulling up into some of those unwanted neighborhoods, and we take that big grill and we start flipping hamburgers and hot dogs and trying to get those troubled kids out to us where we can give them something to eat and then give them Jesus, amen, in the midst of that. Hear me and hear me well. There'll be a crowd that does not like it, and the devil will hate it. You know what? I got so tickled today. It made my day. It made my day. I sat down, was eating lunch today, and at the fire department, we've got a big group chat that all of our people is in, and it went off. And I looked at it, and Brother Josh, it was a picture of a cooler of beer. That's what it was. And I thought, well, what in the world? And I flipped it to the next one, and when I flipped it to the next one, in the midst of that cooler of beer was tracks all over it from Amazing Grace Baptist Church and all throughout that cooler wherever they was at. You know what it done, man? It made me happy. It tickled me to death that somebody was putting tracks from Amazing Grace in the beer cartons down at the store. Hear me and hear me well as we try to reach those that some don't want and we try to get Jesus to them. There'll always be a crowd that comes out against us. The barriers that they hurdled. They get this man, they get to Jesus, but before they even meet the roof, they meet the religious crowd. They meet the religious crowd. The religious crowd was those that said, no, you're not having my seat. Amen. You know what the good thing is about going into a brand new sanctuary? Nobody has a seat. Stephanie was over walking around the other day and I went, what are you doing? She said, I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to sit at. So I'm trying to figure out where my seat's going to be. There's no seats over there. There's no assigned place. There's no exact, are you hearing me? But that religious crowd was, well, you can't have my seat. This is where I sit at. The barriers that they hurdled. They met a whole press at the door and couldn't. Here's a man that's sick. Here's a man in need of the Savior. Here's a man that Jesus is wanting to change his life. And there was a religious crowd that wouldn't even let him in the door. God help us if we ever get to the place where we say they can't come in our doors. They're not what we are. Yeah, they are. They're a sinner just like every one of us sitting here. Amen. The barriers that they hurdled after they got past the religious crowd, then they was met by the roof. They get up to the top. They want to let him down to Jesus, but the roof was in the way. But you know what they did with the roof after they met it? They removed it, man. They just got it out of the way. They just moved it out of the way. You want me to tell you the reason why? It stood between them and getting somebody to Jesus. And anything that stands between you and getting somebody to Jesus needs to be removed out of your life. I mentioned this a little bit on Wednesday night, but let me mention it a little bit more. I mentioned it a little bit in the introduction tonight, but let me say a little more about it. That roof system was clay, is what it was. You study me out. You study the roof system of that day. It was not a roof like we have now. It was flat. That's the way it was. And I don't have time to preach manners and customs. But it was clay. It was mud, what they had made that out of. And that's what you and I are made out of tonight, the dust of the ground. The dust we came and to the dust we're going to return one day. I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to get anybody to Jesus, you're going to have to get yourself out of the way. You're going to have to remove your feelings. You know something that tickled me to death today? Here's something else. I've just been tickled today. Miss April and Brother Jonathan brought me some kind of new coffee. And I'm going to tell you something, boy. It's got a lot of something in it, praise God. I drunk that stuff and I've been about to tear the church down all afternoon. I come through here and it was a mess in here. I'm telling you, it was dirt strewed all through the church. And you know what? I had one of two things I could do. I could complain about it, or I could just get a vacuum cleaner and vacuum. Some, I'm going to get in trouble right here. Some probably walked by today and thought, boy, what a mess, but they didn't pick up no vacuum cleaner and try to fix it. Boy, I grabbed that vacuum cleaner from back there, Brother Heath, and I plugged it in. I went to walking up and down the aisles in here a vacuuming and praising God. Why? Because there was a big enough crowd to drag dirt in down at the house of God today. Amen. You know what we'll say? Well, I can't believe somebody would drag dirt in down at the church. Thank God somebody come down to the church. I said this the other night preaching. I said it Wednesday night preaching. You know, the other Sunday morning, some of the kids come in off the van, and I'm going to tell you, it was a mess down the hallway back there, and it was a mess coming down this side. And you know where the mess turned at? It turned and came into my office, and you know what I thought about? Thank God for bus kids that knew they could go to the preacher's office and sit down in the preacher's office and talk to the preacher. Thank God for the mess that was around the church today. Thank God for the mud that was tracked in and out of it. Let's get our feelings out of the way and ourselves out of the way. It's God's house. It's God's pews. And if we go reach a world, it's going to be a mess every once in a while. But thank God for the mess. The barriers, man. There'll be those that says, we really don't need to do that, and we really don't need to do that. No, we really do need to. Why? Because they're going to die and go to hell if we don't. So they don't know how to act. Somebody needs to teach them how to act. You say, well, they cut up. Well, I understand that, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to sit in the door with them and help them to keep from cutting up. You say, well, we can't bring them. Don't tell me we can't bring them. You say, well, preacher, don't preacher me. It's time that we remove those barriers. And there'll be things that is a hindrance because Satan hates it when you go to his playground and start working. You think Satan's tickled that this week in the jails alone, what was it, 9 or 10 altogether through both of the counties? Last week, that in the past 2 weeks that we've had saved in the jail system, do you think the devil likes that? Absolutely not. You said, preach what he said. The barriers that they heard, we must learn to step over those barriers. We must learn to move them out of the way. Amen. Hey, can I just say this? The freight train's moving. You got one of two choices, get on it or get off, but bless God, don't get in front of it because it will run over you. We're not stopping. The barriers that they hurdled, but watch this and I'm done. There was the blessing that they had. There was the blessing that they had. Say, what was the blessing? Well, their faith was recognized in verse number 5, but their friend was restored in verse number 12. He got saved, man. He got, what a blessing. The blessing that they had. The blessing was this, somebody got saved. Miss Daniel, you come start playing song. There's nothing no greater than seeing somebody get saved. There's nothing no greater. And I'm not going to call no names. I'm not going to call no names. But back, I guess it's been a month or so ago, one evening, I was coming out of the woods and my phone rung. I didn't hear it. I had it on silent. So when I got to my truck, I got it out. And I looked on it, and it was a voicemail. And I listened to that voicemail. It said, hey, preacher, this is such and such. I've been to the doctor and the doctor told me to call you. Now, what about that? How many times does that happen? Somebody go to the doctor and talk to the doctor. And the doctor says, no, you need to call the preacher down there at Amazing Grace and talk to him. I'm glad we got some good doctors. Amen. And I said, well, why did he tell you to call me? We began to talk a little bit. He began to tell me about the issues that he was dealing with. And I said, you going to be home for a little while? And he said, yeah. He said, I'll be here. I said, well, look, I'm just going to come over there. I said, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Is that okay? He said, well, I said, okay, I'll see you in 10 minutes. And I pulled up. Me and that individual talked a while. I talked to him about the Lord. I told him about Christ, what Christ would do. Tuesday, Miss Leslie and I had met Brother Jonathan and Miss April for lunch and was talking to them. And my phone rung. I looked down, I answered it. And it was that individual. And I said, hey, look, I'm meeting with a family. Can I call you back in just a minute, in just a few minutes? And the individual said, absolutely, that's no problem at all. Take your time. A little bit of time went by. We finished eating and drunk a cup of coffee and started up the road, and I picked up the phone and called that individual back. And I said, hey, I'm sorry. I was eating with that family, but what can I help you with? And they began to talk to me. Here's what they said. Said, if anything happens to me, I don't want to die and go to hell. And I said, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to either. And they said, well, what does a person have to do to be saved? And I began to give them the plan of salvation. I said, it's very simple. I just laid the plan of salvation out, Brother Robert, for them. And here's what I said. I said, you don't have to be in church. You don't have to meet me and me pray with you. Somebody give me an amen right there. You don't have to be in an altar. You can make an altar wherever you're at. And I said, if you'll pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and save you, and if you believe with all of your heart that God will do that and you confess your sins to Him, I said, according to the Word of God, God will do that. He said, really? And I said, really. I said, I'm praying for you. If you need me, you call me. I'm not into easy believism. I'm telling you, if God's ringing their bell, they want to get saved, they'll get saved. I hung up the phone. For a day or two, I thought, man, I really wanted to call them, but I didn't. I called another individual. I said, hey, I said, have you talked to such and such lately? He said, yeah, I talked to him just a few minutes ago. And I said, well, you know, I talked to him on Tuesday. And I said, boy, I sure have been praying. Sure, I've been praying. If you only knew the story behind what I'm telling, I can't tell it all. I said, sure, I've been praying. He said, well, you know what they just told me? I said, what's that, Hoss? He said, they told me the other day they called you and said they was worried about dying and going to hell, and you told them what the Bible said and told them that they could get saved going down the road, and that they just prayed going down the road and said, God, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, I don't want to die and go to hell. And they prayed and asked God to come into their heart and save them, and said they just really couldn't explain it, but the past 3 or 4 days, it had been the best 3 or 4 days that they had ever had, and what God had began to do in their heart and in their life and in their family. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this, if we'll just get them to Jesus, He'll take care of everything else. The blessing they had was they watched that man get saved. They watched that man be healed from the infirmity that he had. There's no greater joy after salvation than leading someone else to God. Watching them bow their head and ask Christ. There's no greater joy, man. There's no greater joy. 2016, we had that revival that went 5 weeks and over 200 saved. Some of y'all sitting in this room got saved in that meeting. And I'll never forget one night we standing up on the platform underneath that big tent that Brother Hewitt's got now. We standing up on the platform at the edge of it, me and Brother Brian. And we looked down, and my wife, Miss Leslie, was praying with one. Miss April was praying with another. Brother Brian looked over at me, and he said, preacher, he said, you know, when you walk by the hospital rooms or the labor and delivery floor, and you look in that nursery window at all those kids, it's just been born, that joy that you have, it's a joyful thing. I said, yeah. He said, you know what, preacher? He said, it's like standing there looking in the window right now, watching all these babies being born up here. There's nothing like that. I'm telling you, man, there's nothing like that. Let me tell you the reason they saw that. It's because they decided one day there was a man in a condition that needed Christ. And they removed every barrier that came in their way, and they got them to Christ. And they rejoiced in a blessing because of that. The Bible said this in chapter number 2, I think it's about verse number 12. They said they had never, the people marveled and said that they had never saw it on that fashion. They had never saw it like that. All of the people at church that day said they had never saw anything like that. All because four people decided they was going to get somebody to Jesus. What would happen if every one of us in here decided we're going to get somebody to Jesus this year? No matter what comes out, we're going to get them to Jesus this year. We're going to get them to Jesus this year. I said this, and I'm saying it in closing. We can't depend on every other church to do it. Thank God for other churches. I'm not in competition with no other church around here. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. But you know, Brother Scott, we can't wait on them to do it. It's up to us. Y'all ever heard of Preacher Rick Gravely? Preached youth camp this year. In all honesty, is probably one of the greatest preachers in America today. Unreal. Got a great church. Dad was just there and preached in it. Do you know where he came from? Literally the other side of the tracks on a bus route. Somebody went and got him on a bus and brought him to church. And he's one of the greatest preachers in the world today. Brother Rick Gravely. Alton Beale, the president of Ambassador Baptist Bible College, was playing in a yard when Gene Thacker and Harold England drove an old Dodge van. It was a 3-speed on the column. And found him playing in a yard and said, "Hey, we want you to come to church with us at Turner's Creek Baptist Church." And he came to church, got saved, surrendered to preach, and is the president of Ambassador Baptist Bible College today. Why? Because somebody saw somebody in need of the Savior. Dakota Queen is standing in a pulpit preaching tonight out of our church because Randy and Dawn took a van and went to Crack Rock on the other side of Mount Airy and drug him out of a house that his daddy was growing marijuana in and brought him to church. There's some more Alton Beals. There's some more Rick Gravelys. There's some more Dakota Queens. It's just up to us to go get them. Getting somebody else to Jesus.